Chapter 2, Bodhidharma Chan. Chan is basically a wall of steel without an entrance. If there was to be a door of any kind, it would merely be for convenience. That is why, when someone asked Chan Master Zhao Zu whether dogs possess Buddha nature, and his answer was wu, meaning the negative, the case became one hao tu, a short phrase, usually in question form, taken as the object of focused contemplation in Chan meditative practice. During the time of Song Dynasty, Chan Master Wu Men Hui Ke wrote a book titled Wu Men Guan, meaning a barrier with no door, with its first sentence being, "The Buddha says mind is the tenant, and no door, woman, is the method." The first part is actually quoted from the chapter, All That Is Said of the Mind, by the Buddha in the Lankavatara Sutra, while the second part, No Door is the Method, can either be taken as a cryptic Chan expression or to actually mean that no door is the door to Buddha Dharma. No door is the door to Chan. Of central significance in Buddha Dharma is the principle of uncertainty in all phenomena. Hence, anything certain is not considered a phenomenon, Dharma. As such, there is, strictly speaking, no door for entry into the principles underlying Chan, which is why it is considered to be a wall of steel. In receiving and guiding learners, however, Chan patriarchs of the past could only be expedient in face of this predication of no door for entry. In fact, what was later known as the myriad methods and the 1,700 recorded cases, Gong An, are all expedient doors to Chan. To enter the door of Chan, it is vital to understand how Bodhidharma instructed us to cross the threshold of Chan. Bodhidharma is founder of the Chinese Chan school, and the foundation he laid was not to merely establish a sect. The Chan school is consisted of his thoughts as well as methods of practice that would distinguish itself from other sects. There is a piece of writing on the patriarch's Dharma words which specifically expounds on the methods to entering Chan, namely a brief treatise on the insight into the four practices to enter the way of Mahayana. The instructions given there for the cultivation of Chan are the two entries and four practices. The two entries being entry via principle and entry via practice. While the four practices refer to the practice on how we should react to grievances suffered, accord with conditions, forsake seeking, and be consonant with the Dharma. This essay of 500 words is preceded by a foreword written by Master Tanlin, which conveys an important message that has been somehow overlooked by Chan practitioners and scholars alike. Besides relating Bodhidharma's eventful life and accomplishments, the passage contains a four-line verse of the Patriarchs. This is how to settle the mind. This is how to initiate the practice. This is how to accord with things. This is how to be expedient. These were the words that Bodhidharma directly imparted to his two followers, Huike and Daoyu. This is how to settle the mind really means meditating facing a wall is how to settle the mind. To settle his own mind, Bodhidharma spent 9 years in meditative contemplation facing a cave wall while in Mount Song. Implied in "this is how to initiate the practice" are the four practices. "This is how to accord with things" connotes the avoidance of being misunderstood or discredited. And finally, "this is how to be expedient" is emphasis on the importance of dispelling attachment or clinging. The above four lines are extremely important. They were directly transmitted by the Patriarch and had since become the origin from which all Chan methods of practice are derived. When that foreword was written, Master Tanlin acknowledged that the four lines epitomized the authentic way of Bodhidharma. With reference to the four lines, let us make a simple analysis on these guiding instructions given by the Patriarch for entering Chan. First of all, "this is how to settle the mind, meditating facing a wall." When summarizing Bodhidharma's Chan discourse in his foreword to the compendium of various interpretations on the origin of Chan, Chan Master Guifeng Zongmi of the Tang Dynasty wrote, "taught on settling the mind through meditative contemplation facing a wall, with regard to which the following four points were of special note. Let all external conditions be brought to rest, and there be no gasping within. When the mind is like a wall, the way could be entered. To settle the mind, we must let it become a wall, not a mud wall or cement wall, but a wall of steel, one that not even a fly or mosquito could get through, not even germs could invade or corrode. This is what is meant by the mind like a wall. This is how the mind like a wall would have to protect itself from the invasion and corrosion of delusive thoughts and material desires. Today, we have another way of saying this: to build a spiritual great wall, a wall with the function of preventing society from corruption and of preventing us spiritual practitioners from the invasion of defilements, delusions, and material desires. For the mind to be like a wall, all external conditions would have to be brought to rest. They have to be as they are, and wherever they belong, without disturbing one another. To have external conditions brought to rest is difficult, but as long as they do not get in each other's way, and we do not stretch ourselves to go after them, it will be all right. We must realize that vexations and afflictions do not come to us of their own. They arise in our mind because we look for them. Simply allowing everything to be as they are without deliberately looking for them is to have brought external conditions to rest. And what are these conditions that we are talking about? Joy and sorrow, suffering and happiness, you and me, right and wrong, etc. Of course, to bring such conditions to rest is much easier said than done. Chan Master Dongshan once cautioned us practitioners to be careful not to let our minds covet different kinds of conditions. He compared it to how we must be alert not to get wet in the marshland, or drink even a sip of its water, lest leeches would get into our system and suck our blood. Likewise, we practitioners must never allow ourselves to be drawn towards the various conditions when we come across them in our daily life, lest we would never accomplish the way. Internally, there must not be any gasping within us. As far as the application of mind in Chan cultivation is concerned, we need to gradually become more refined. Let us take, for example, the method of observing the breath, which could manifest in the following four forms in our system: wind, gasp, qi, energy, and the breath, inhalation, exhalation. Here, we are not instructed to be mindful of the first three forms, but only on breathing in and breathing out. As inhalation, exhalation of breath is so very fine and subtle, our breathing will become ever smoother and gentler as mindfulness is applied in the practice. Besides, this practice has the secondary purpose of maintaining continuity in our meditative contemplation, allowing us to remain alert in every single moment of the present. Such is the state of no gasping within. To be able to achieve external conditions brought to rest and no gasping within is to have the mind like a wall. And when the mind is like a wall, we would be able to distinguish all disturbances, both internal and external. Hence, lucidly identify the essence and absolute reality of all phenomena, that all things arising out of interdependent conditions have no independent nature of their own and are therefore empty. Having fulfilled the above three requirements, we are now ready to pass through the door of Chan and take entrance into the way. What has been said is with reference to the first line of instruction given by Bodhidharma. This is how to settle the mind, meditating facing a wall. This method to settle the mind is only the beginning. The late Premier Zhu Enlai once wrote a poem with this line in it. Facing the wall for 10 years with the intention of breaking the wall. The reference he made to the case of Bodhidharma's practice hinted on the significance not of facing the wall, but of breaking it as an eventuality. There is great depth in this, for it denotes a breakthrough or a great leap. In terms of spiritual cultivation, it means enlightenment. We must know that it is not enough to have our mind like a wall. We must aim to break through it. Only then are we in a position to freely employ conditions as they abound for the deliverance of all living beings. And it is only then that we consider our practice fruitful.